Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hi, this is Rachel Berkovitz coming to you from Jerusalem. This is Unit 2 of 20, where we're learning through all the Mishnayot of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Last class, we started with the first Mishnah of Chapter 1, and we saw, shockingly, that there were four different heads of the year. And in that structure, we noticed that despite the fact that they said there were four, the text went through the month starting with Nisan, as if the month of Nisan was the first one. This theme of Nisan being number one, we're going to see continue in Mishnayot 2 and 3, which we're going to learn together today. And in fact, there are many things literarily that link Mishnahs 2 and 3 to Mishnah 1. Right? Mishnah 1 opened with four, and here too, Mishnah 2 is going to open with Ba'arba'a Prakim Ha'olam Nidon. At four chapters, or in four sections, or in four joints of the year, the world is judged. Right? So we had four heads of the year, and now we have four points throughout the year. And these are going to be, right, the four heads were four points throughout the year. But these are going to be different four points. There's going to be a link, but they're going to be slightly different. And so we have four and we have four. Mishnah 3 is not going to open with four, but it's going to also open with a number. It's going to open with six. So all three of the Mishnayot open with a number, telling us something in units. And then all of the Mishnayot are going to go through a cycle of time. Mishnah 1 listed us months, Nisan, Elul, Tishrei, Shvat. And Mishnah 3 is also going to list us months, although it's going to be more expansive. It's going to list us 6 months. Once again, starting with Nisan, we'll read through them when we get to that Mishnah. And Mishnah 2 doesn't mention us months, but it mentions to us holidays. And it's going to start with Pesach, which obviously is one of the first of the regalim that we learned in Mishnah 1. And that starts in Nisan. So we see already there's something unified about these three Mishnayot that mention months, that mention the cycle starting with Rosh Hashanah. That the cycle of Rosh Hashanah starts with Nisan, and it mentions the holidays. The other thing that is unique about these three Mishnayot, that is the only place in Chapter 1 and in Chapter 2, these three Mishnayot are going to mention Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah that we know, the one that starts in Tishrei. So we had it in Mishnah 1, which didn't really single out that one all that much, but it was there. And here we're going to see in Mishnah 2 and 3 that it's going to take on more of the characteristics that we're familiar with when we say the phrase Rosh Hashanah. And it's going to be these three first Mishnayot that are going to mention Rosh Hashanah, and then they're going to slowly segue into what I told you was going to be the topic of Chapter 1 and 2, about sanctifying the new moon, about how we do the calendar, right? We've already been talking about calendar because we've been talking about the cycle of months and the years. But it's going to be, this is the only place where we're going to have that link of Rosh Hashanah that's going to be the main topics of Chapters 3 and 4 when we get to them. Okay, let's read through the Mishnayot and try to unpack them. So Mishnah 2 says the following, Ba'arba'a prakim ha'olam nidon. In four places, in four parts, in four joints, four chapters, the world is judged. So this is interesting. I'm finally getting the idea of judgment, which I might have thought, I know that maybe Rosh Hashanah is called the day of judgment, but it doesn't seem to single out that there's only one day of judgment. There are four types of judgment, and this isn't necessarily judgment for human beings. This is judgment of the world. It doesn't actually say who is doing the judging. Right? The world is judged in the passive. There isn't an active subject. And now we're going to see which are these four places. B'Pesach al Hatfuah, B'Atzeret al Perot Ta'ilan, right? On Pesach, and now I have to add in the world is judged about the produce, about the crops. On Atzeret, which is the rabbinic, the Mishnah's way of referring to the holiday of Shavuot, the world is judged about the fruit of the tree. And we had crops and fruit of the tree in the first Mishnah, right? The crops were the things that were planted. It was the sabbatical year, and the fruit of the tree was our Tu B'Shvat, right? And so now we have those things which were originally linked to Tishrei and to Shvat now are being associated with the month of Sivan, with the holiday of Shavuot, and with the month of Nisan and the holiday of Pesach. Okay, and then we get to Rosh Hashanah. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei holam ovrim lefanav kebnei maron. On Rosh Hashanah, all ba'ei holam, all the comers of the world. So now we have the world, and now we have people who, I add the word people, all the things that come in the world, I think it's referring to people. Ovrim lefanav, pass before him. We don't know who the him is, but presumably the him, the Hebrew says him, I would have used a gender-neutral term, is the divine. Kibnei maron, like B'nai Maron, I'm not going to translate that yet because there's a big problem with that word and I'll come back to it in a second. So they pass before him like something. Shene Amar, and now we have our first quote of a verse, and it's a verse from Tehillim, from Psalms, and it says, Hayotzer yachad libam hemivin el kol masehem, who creates together their hearts and understands all their behaviors. So we have to unpack what this verse has to do with anything. We'll do that in a moment. Ubachag nidonim al hamayim. And ubachag, chag, is how the rabbis refer to the holiday of Sukkot. And on Sukkot, they are judged. Now it's in the plural. They are judged, as opposed to, it seems like maybe not the world is judged anymore. The world was judged in the singular. Now we have a plural. Is it referring to the Ba'ei Olam, is it referring to the people, are judged about the water. And the verb judge has to return because you see that there was like an interruption in the flow. Pesach, Atzeret, and Chag, right? Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, there's a flow to them. It makes sense. Those are the holidays. Those are the regalim. And the structure of the language was the same, right? It's about being judged about something to do with the nature's cycle. But because I had sort of shoved in the middle this thing about Rosh Hashanah, that it's not only the Olam, but it's a Ba'ei Olam, and I had a whole long sentence, and I had a verse, and my whole rhythm was messed up, the Mishnah had to go back and add the words, are judged, so I can get back to the verb that I know. I just want to point out the one line about Rosh Hashanah and all the Ba'ei Olam, all the comers of the world, passing before the divine. It doesn't use the verb judged. Presumably they're passing before the divine to be judged, but that's like the one place where the word judged doesn't exactly fit. And that's the end of the Mishnah. Now we have to unpack this. Already we noticed some awkward things. We noticed it started at Pesach again, like I said, so the beginning of the year seems to be Nisan. But because these holidays are now, which we actually in the first Mishnah thought were like national holidays, had to do with history, right? Now we find out that they actually link to something in nature, right? Produce and fruit and water are all things that happen in nature. But there's something awkward about the order, right? If I had to talk about the flow of nature, I would say, well, first there's rain, there's mayim, there's the water. Then the crops start to grow. And then at the very end, I get the fruit of the crops, right? But the cycle, which is starting at the beginning in Pesach, is actually starting in the middle of the nature cycle. And I see something awkward about this flow when I look at what the Mishnah says. So I've started with Nisan. I've linked it to specifically to Jewish holidays and historical time. But I'm talking about nature time. And then I've created this bizarre order that isn't really the true cycle of the nature time, where the end is really the beginning. Okay, did you follow me, I hope, with all of the problems? Okay, so we need to unpack this more. And the key to unpacking this, obviously, is our key sentence about Rosh Hashanah. That all the Ba'ei Olam, all the comers of the world, pass before him, kibnei maron. Now, the Gemara and the Amoraim, you should look there, they don't fully understand this, and there's a lot of conversation about what it is. It seems to be that the part of the problem is that this is based, actually, on a Latin-Roman word, kibinumeron, numerous, that people didn't understand. If you look at all the manuscripts and parallel texts of the manuscripts, that's the word. It's a Latin word, and it means something specific. It means a unit in the army, but it doesn't just mean any type of unit in the army. When you look at the Roman army, it's a specific unit that existed in the Roman army. And what's interesting about this is presumably if the rabbis choose to use this word, They themselves, the rabbis of the Mishnah, understood the meaning of the word, and they used it specifically, and they assumed that the people listening to it knew what this word meant. Much later on, people did not understand anymore. And even now, when I've heard people explain it and they talk about the original version that is in the manuscripts, they just say it's like a king inspecting his armies, the way he looks at them, and they march before him, and he looks at all of them. But the numeron in the Roman army is a specific group. There are three different types of people, legions, that make up the Roman army. I got this off Google and Wikipedia. You can see it too. I know nothing about this. And there's the first group is made up of citizens, of Roman citizens of the empire. Those are sort of the elite. And then there's a second group that's made up of people who are part of the empire, who are citizens of countries that the empire has conquered. And then there's the numeron, and the numeron are the barbari. They're the barbarians. They are people who are outside the Roman Empire, who have allied themselves in some way with the Roman emperor and are fighting for him, but they usually fight using their own weapons, and they're dressed in their own sort of traditional garb, and they might even have their own leaders. And the numeron are like compared to, they're usually called barbari. And they're these sort of people who are totally outside the empire, but are linking themselves to the Roman Empire. So when you have this understanding, when I read this on Google, I was like, whoa, this is a new understanding of the Mishnah. Because what does it mean by saying that Kol Ba'ei Ha'olam pass before the divine like the numeron? We are talking about specific holidays that are linked to the Jewish people. You might have thought that this experience would be something that would solely be for the Jewish people. I would compare that to the empire. But the divine is telling us, or this Mishnah is telling us, that there are people that are outside our empire, that are outside our nation, that are part of, I don't want to sound like Chabad here, but part of Tzivas Hashem, part of the divine's army, that part of the divine's people of the world. So we might perceive them as outside of our empire, as barbaric, as completely other and foreign to us, with foreign dress and foreign traditions and foreign behaviors. But when the divine looks at them, we're all part of the same group. And then it's, and we are, and the divine is looking, right? This is about the world. It seems to be not, although the holidays are specifically Jewish, the world seems to be universal. And Bo'ei Olam, comers of the world, seems to be universal about all people. And so maybe this Mishnah is telling us something about the way the divine perceives all the people in the world and the connection between them. And then if you look at the text in Tehillim, it's very, very interesting. So if you look a few verses before our verse, so this is Psalms 33, right? And you say, and you look, let's say, from verse 12, it says, right, happy the nation whose God is the Lord, his people has chosen to be his own, right? So that's something specific and personal about the Jewish people and the divine. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all mankind, a kol b'nei adam, but he sees all human beings. From his dwelling place, he gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth, right? He sees kol yoshvei ha'aretz. And then is our verse. He who fashions the heart of all of them, who discerns all their doings, right? The divine sees the whole world because the divine is the creator, the fashioner, the otzer of everyone's heart. Together, all human beings were created at the same time, right? And then the next verse actually talks about kings. Kings are not delivered by large force. Warriors are not saved by great strength, right? All those human kings looking at the army, that's not what's going to save them. Horses are false hope of deliverance. For all their great power, they provide no escape. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who wait for his faithful care, to save them from death, to sustain them in famine, right? It's that we have to rely on the divine to provide food, to provide, right? Famine, that's the mayim and the water and the crops. We set our hope in the Lord, and he is our help and shield. In him our hearts rejoice, and for his holy name we trust. Right, so these verses are really, really interesting. Right, they're verses in Tehillim who describe a personal relationship to the divine that the Jewish people have, but that the divine has a relationship to all of the divine's creations and is the one who judges their actions and knows their actions and then provides for the world. And so this Mishnah seems to be saying that, right, and it's clear that the fact that the world is judged about water and about crops and about fruit is a statement, like we saw in the first Mishnah, that the divine is the source of life in this world, right? That the divine is the provider of food in this world. And that we are all human beings are part of that world and responsible for it. And then what's very, very interesting about the order, right? I talked about the awkwardness of the order, is it seems to be saying that possibly what is the divine looking at when the divine looks at his new Marone, at all the people in the world together as part of the divine's army, and maybe judging and knowing that we are created and knowing what our hearts are like, right? And there's an imagery that the heart leads to action, right? Maybe this is sort of like the roots that lead to the fruit in some way. But that we're judged on our actions, and possibly then that's how much water, right? We get judged in Rosh Hashanah, and then we find out how much water is going to be provided for us, right? Human actions are going to be reflective of how God is going to respond in the world. And so then the cycle in some ways makes sense, right? I need the judgment day to then get the water, although possibly I should have started with the judgment day as being the beginning of the year, but I still started with Pesach. And then once I have human judgment, I know how much water to give the world. And then once I know how much water has been in the world, then I'll know how much crops are going to be. And then once I know how much crops are going to be, I know how much fruit is going to be produced. And obviously, right, the months are linked, right? After Tishrei starts the rainy season in Israel. And in Pesach time is spring when the first barley crops, right, the Omer, grow. And then by Shavuot time, right, I have the wheat harvest, and wheat is considered a pre, is considered a fruit of the crops. And so this nature cycle is a response, is God responding to people's actions. So in mission number one, we had the divine providing and human beings responding and thanking and recognizing that the divine provides, right? So the divine acts and human beings respond. And in mission number two, we have human beings acting, doing masehen, and the divine responding by giving us the source of life. And so we see this beautiful mirroring in both of these mishnayot. Right. And obviously we see many different models of what a year can be. Right. We have a calendar year and a sun year and a seasonal year and nature's year and the holidays and years that are defined by mitzvot and years that are defined by history and years that are national and years that are the life of plants and animals and lives of human beings. Right. What does it mean? Yotzer libam. Right. That means that's also identifying Rosh Hashanah with the day of creation. Right. With the time when the human beings were created in the world, when God created all human beings the same, right? And then we have this, the year in the life of the world, or the history of the world is being told to us. And so these beautiful imageries that play out in the first Mishnayot are very interesting. There's another interesting parallel between the first two Mishnayot, right? There, because we both have four, but the fours are really three plus one, right? Three things that talk about nature and one thing that talks about human beings. But what's interesting is in Mishnah 1, the one time that talked about human beings was Nisan, right? The kings and the regalim, that's what's human beings. And the rest of the year was all about nature. And in Mishnah 2, it's the first of Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah that talks about human beings and the human beings in the world. And then the rest of the other months are nature. So we have this 3+1 model of human beings in relationship to nature, but the one where human beings are identified with singles out Nisan as being something special and Tishrei as being something special. And we have human beings that are national and personal to the Jewish people of Jewish kings and Jewish holidays. And we have human beings that are all the numeron, all the people of the world, even those that are other from us. Now we have to transition into Mishnah number three. Mission number three says, Al Shisha Chodeshim Hashluchim Yotzim. On 6 months, the messengers go out. Now, boom, we've changed the topic. And this mission is totally out of order. Like, what are we talking about here? We're jumping already to how the calendar is defined and what I told you about how the moon gets sanctified. But we're also jumping the gun. This is totally out of order because there's going to be a long process of the new month happening and witnesses seeing it and them coming to the courts and then the courts declaring the new month. And then, boom, once the court declares the new month, then we have to get that information out to the people. So we have to send out messengers, right? The courts is in Jerusalem in the temple. And after the temple is destroyed, the court is going to sit in Yavne, but it's going to sit in one specific place. And I have to get the information out to the rest of the people in Israel, like if they live far away from Jerusalem. And I got to get the information out to the diaspora so that they can know the calendar. And there's specifically going to be 6 months where I need to get this information out because those are going to be months that are going to link to specific holidays in the calendar. So we're back to the holidays because I need to know the dates of those holidays. And so what's interesting, Mishnah Aleph and Bet, we're talking about a lot about the cycle in nature, about the sun calendar, which seems to be the realm of the divine, God providing life in the seasons of nature. And now we're switching specifically. It's the first time we have the word Chodeshim mentioned, right? It was implied in Mishnah Aleph and Bet, but it wasn't there. Finally, it's mentioned here in Mishnah Gimel. And we have the lunar calendar, which is going to seem to be, we're going to learn, is the domain, is the purview of human beings. We're going to be the ones that sanctify at the court. We need to tell the calendar to people. And so now we're going to have this more human time that is not objective time, godly time, but is subjective time. So we have 6 months where the messengers go out. Al Nisan Mibnei HaPesach, Al Av Mibnei HaTanit. Right there, we send messengers out. So the new moon is declared on the 1st of Nisan, and I quickly have to send out messengers, and they need to go tell you which day was the 1st of Nisan. Right, every month can either be 29 days or 30 days long. That's the way the lunar calendar works. But I need to know which one is which, so I know. I have to count 14 days, 15 days to get to Pesach. I need to know which was day number one, so I have to quickly send out the messengers after I declare the new moon of Nisan. And when Av happens, the month of Av, I got to send out messengers really quickly because by the 9th of Av, I have the fast day of Tisha B'Av, which just happened recently here. And so I have because of the fast. And then Al Elul, on the 1st of Elul, I need to send people out because of Rosh Hashanah. Va'al Tishrei mibnei takanata mo'adot. And on Tishrei, I have to send out messengers because I need to fix the holidays. And so here in these two lines, something very, very interesting happens. Because I have, these both are talking about the Rosh Hashanah that I know, but the Rosh Hashanah in two different manifestations of Rosh Hashanah. When I say on the 1st of Elul, I have to send out messengers, Mibnei Rosh Hashanah, I'm talking about the holiday, right? I need to know when the 1st of Elul is so that I can at least count 29 days to find out, is the 30th day going to be Rosh Hashanah? Or is the 31st, which then will be the first day, going to be Rosh Hashanah? But because I'm not going to be able to know, I need to at least get as close and easily as I count. I need to start counting from Elul. So that's talking about Rosh Hashanah as the holiday. And then when it says Al Tishrei Mibnei fixing, because of fixing the calendars, that Al Tishrei is talking about the new moon of Tishrei, which is the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. But in that context, I'm not talking about it as the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. I'm talking about it as Kiddush HaChodesh, as the sanctifying of the month, right? As the first of Tishrei, which I care about that because I need to know 10 days later is Yom Kippur, and I need to know 15 days later is Sukkot, and I have to fix the Mo'adot. So even though it says fixing the Mo'adot, which is interesting here, I associate that with Tishrei and fixing the calendar, obviously for every one of these months, they're going out to fix the calendar to tell you about the holidays. But because Tishrei is special in the calendar that it has three holidays in it, it's really important, and it gets the title that the Mishnah is telling us about fixing or determining the calendar, even though the whole way through we've been fixing the calendar. Then it says, on Kislev, I go out Mibnei Chanukah. I send messengers out for Chanukah to let people know when the 25th is. Va'al Adar Mibnei Purim. And in Adar, I need to tell you what the 14th or 15th, so you can celebrate Purim. And then it says, Kishaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Now we know that this Mishnah is being talked about post-destruction, and this is going to be a theme we're going to see mentioned throughout the chapters in the Mishnah. When the temple was standing, when it existed, they Yotzim Afal Yar Mibnei Pesach Katan. They even sent out messengers for the month of Iyar, because in the month of Iyar we have Pesach Sheni, we have the second Pesach. The Torah talks about the fact that Pesach is such an important national holiday for us, that if someone was unable to bring the sacrifice because they were impure, they were unable, they don't want to miss out. And so we give them a second chance. And on the 14th of Iyar, we let them sacrifice the Paschal sacrifice again, or instead, not again, a second time. It's a second do-over for the individual. And so this is really, really interesting, this whole structure. Right? And it's a beautiful literary unit we see because it opens with Pesach and then goes to Ta'anit, the fast about the destruction of the temple. And it closes with the destruction of the temple and then Pesach again, little Pesach. So we have an envelope structure on this Mishnah itself. And the Mishnah itself has a nice structure, right? It has 6 months in which we send out messengers, and obviously then 6 months which we don't send out messengers, right? I have three biblical holidays mentioned, and I have something new here. There are also rabbinic holidays. There's Tisha B'Av and Purim and Hanukkah, which all, by the way, are historical holidays, right? Rabbinic holidays, unlike the Pesach ones, don't have a agriculture nature side to them. They're all historical nature, right? I have three holidays that are sort of in the winterish, the fall winter time period, and three holidays that are in the spring summer time period, right? I have a really nice structure here that is sort of segueing us into this new experience called defining the Jewish calendar. And what's very interesting here is that the first two Mishnayot, really, I think we're talking about the partnership between the divine and human beings. Because although we said the divine provides for us in nature, and obviously the divine does, and the divine is the source of life, right? We also learn in Bereishit Perek Bet 2:5, when no shrub of the field was yet on earth and no grass of the field had yet sprouted, because the Lord God had not yet sent rain upon the earth and there was no human being to till the soil, right? That actually, I can have all these things of nature, but I need human beings to do the work. I need human beings to be the farmers, to create those fruits and those breads and all those things. So in nature, I have a partnership between human beings and the divine, between taking the raw materials and working the earth and producing food. And we're soon going to see this is going to be a segue into the lunar calendar and the sanctification of the month, that there's going to be a partnership between the divine and human beings here too, with nature and the moon and human beings' role in creating holiness. So this is a theme we will continue with next time as well.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty. And thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.